New year, same dysfunction with the Cleveland Browns. One of the more intriguing situations open in the NFL. It's a football Thursday here on Home and Home, a radio.com sports original. We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Check them out, ziprecruiter.com/enter. Get yourself a new NFL head coach on ZipRecruiter. NFL organizations got to use ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I'm Dave Briggs, home in Connecticut. Ross Tucker's in Pennsylvania. Daryl Ryder all over the Cleveland Browns situation. 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Catch them anytime on the radio.com app. Daryl, what a mess. Happy New Year. Is it the same dysfunctional Cleveland Browns organization, though?
Same dysfunction with a twist. They didn't want to blow this thing completely up, but John Dorsey really left them no choice when he did not want to take a bit of a reduced role in the football operations, most notably with this coaching search. You know, they put everything in his hands last offseason, and he got them Freddie Kitchens. And so the Haslams did not want to go through that same process again and end up with another Kitchens-like coach. And since Dorsey didn't want to take the step back that they would have liked him to, both sides decided to move on. So here we are. The Browns not only looking for a head coach, but they're also looking for the next GM.
Yeah, I guess, Dale, I would say on some level I understand why he wanted to keep either Greg Williams or Freddie Kitchens to continue what they were doing last year. I think that made some sense. I didn't blame him for that. I felt like he had done enough that I would give him the opportunity to really, for the first time, hire his own head coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understood why Dorsey went with Kitchens last year, but the problem was that it did not take long this year to figure out that Freddie Kitchens was not the guy, and he was in over his head. Early in the season, Browns ownership became quickly frustrated with Kitchens. Obviously, the losses piled up. They started 2-6. They lost a couple of key games early on national television, in which just Kitchens had all kinds of brain cramps, mismanagement. The lack of discipline was obviously apparent. The disorganization leading up to games was apparent behind the scenes, even though the Browns tried to put on the happy face and make like everything is going perfectly fine. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that, John Dorsey blew it. Let's be very frank on it. He blew the coaching search last year, and the Haslams just were not going to allow him to blow another coaching search. Paul DePodesta, their chief strategy officer, came to the team in 2016 when they put together that Sashi Brown analytics-heavy front office. He is now going to assist the Haslams in cultivating all these candidates, interviewing them, and then ultimately the Haslams will be the ones to make that final call who the next head coach will be. And then the next head coach will pick who the general manager will be. And, here we go again with yet another new structure for the Browns organization as they try and figure out how to keep people working together.
Daryl Ryder, 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland, with it says another because this will be the 12th coach since 1999 hired by the Browns, the fourth in 8 seasons in the full-time capacity under Haslam. What a mess. And Daryl, you tweeted out that there are 7 legit candidates. Starts today with interviewing Mike McCarthy, the former Packers head man. Give me your power rankings. 3 guys you think are most likely to land in Cleveland next season.
Well, I think it is a 3-man race, even though the list is at 7. And I think Josh McDaniels is number 1. Number 2, I have put Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. That was DePodesta's pick last January. That's why I have him number 2, because DePodesta is heavily involved in this thing. And then number 3, I have McCarthy. Greg Roman is interesting because of what he did with Lamar Jackson in that Baltimore Raven offense. I think John Harbaugh obviously had a tremendous input on that as well. If anything, that's a data mining exploration process there, because the Ravens are a division rival. Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers, don't forget he helped the Browns to just 3 points in their meeting last season in early October out in San Francisco. The two 49er assistants that have been brought up, I'm hearing that those guys aren't necessarily coaching candidates, but they could possibly join Salah in Cleveland if ultimately he ends up being the guy. I don't think that Brian Daboll really is a serious candidate, even though they've requested to interview him. Of course, Daboll was the Browns' offensive coordinator under Eric Mangini in 2009 and 2010. And then Eric Bieniemy, whom I thought the Browns would talk to last year, the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, they will talk, or at least they have requested to speak with him this time around.
Let's talk, Darryl, about Paul DePodesta. It's my understanding he lives in San Diego. How's that going over in Cleveland, that a guy that lives in San Diego is the one heading up the coaching search?
Well, it is interesting. I will say this. I do see Paul DePodesta at all the games. He commutes to all the games. From what I have been told, he has been available to the organization 24/7, 365, either by phone or by video conference. I would think, though, if his role in the front office does expand, and, you know, there is a narrative out there that all of a sudden Paul DePodesta might weasel his way into maybe running the entire football operation. I have been told that is not the case. He is just helping lead the search and assist the Haslams in picking who they believe to be the right guy. He wanted Stefanski last year. He wanted Sean McDermott in 2006 instead of Hugh Jackson. Of course, Sean McDermott has gone on to lead the Buffalo Bills to two playoff berths in the last couple of years here. So that's a nice little I told you so feather in DePodesta's cap. But again, I want to stress he's not taking over the football operation. You know, when DePodesta came to the Browns, I remember him from the early 90s. He was an intern in the Indians front office. That's kind of where he got his start in Major League Baseball. Everywhere he went in Major League Baseball, his teams made the playoffs. And his reputation was one of an organization builder. And what I mean by that, he was the guy that came in and set up the processes, set up the organizational structures, you know, from a leadership standpoint, quality of person standpoint, character, all those type of things. You know, what type of people do we want working for us? You know, setting up scouting departments. Okay, how do we scout our players? The data we use, how do we mine that data? How do we apply that data? So he's a very intellectual person. And so while he's not going to be running the football operation, I do see some value there for the Haslams in having a person like that around. And of course, he's had a semi-front row seat to the last two regimes and why they did not work. And he'll be looking to avoid that happening for a third time, at least under his watch as chief strategy officer.
Talking to Darryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, about the intriguing Browns coaching search. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, tweeting a short time ago that he's hearing the Browns have strong interest in old friend Urban Meyer. Any truth to that rumor?
I think it's entirely possible. I had heard that the Haslams had talked to Urban Meyer directly or Meyer's camp. Whether that was just to pick his brain on this impending coaching search or not, that I've not been able to clarify. If they were interested in him legitimately, as Feldman's reporting, it would not be a surprise to me. And again, this fits with this organizational structure and how they're going about this search. Meyer would absolutely want to call his own shots if he took this thing over. I have concerns certainly about his health. We talked about Josh McDaniels, similar situation if Josh McDaniels gets hired. I've heard Nick Caserio, one of the player personnel men for the Patriots, would be one of the guys he would consider to head up the personnel department and be the GM or whatever fancy title they'd want to give him. That's the dance the Haslams are doing with this coaching search. They are going to allow the head coach to pick who the lead man or lead men are in the personnel department. I think that's a dangerous way to build an organization, but the Browns are desperate to get their guy, and so that's why they're going to do it this way.
So that being the case, Darryl, why do you think Matt Rhule turned them down for an interview? Because is it just he's got that little faith in ownership? Because I thought that was a real bad look that Rhule's evidently willing to interview in Carolina and with the Giants, but said no to the Browns.
Well, let's be frank here. It wouldn't be a Browns head coaching search if the if someone didn't turn the Browns down for an interview. Like that happens every year. They do this. So I think that Rhule wants to be on the East Coast. I believe he's a New York guy too. So if he's going to come to the NFL, why not go close to home as opposed to the most volatile space or city in the National Football League, and that is Cleveland, Ohio. He loves it at Baylor. He's done a great job turning that program around. Everywhere he's gone, he's turned their programs around. I know it comes off as a bad look. To me, I would be more concerned if we went through the list of potential candidates and three or four guys just said thanks but no thanks to the Browns when it comes to the interviews. Right now, it's just Rhule. So I'm not going to get all excited or upset about that. But I think that, again, the volatility of the Browns combined with, it being Cleveland, Ohio and not close to where he grew up on the East Coast, being some of the factors that he has, put in place if he is to leave Baylor, those are the criteria he's looking to hit. And the Browns just don't meet that.
So, Daryl, based on Odell and Landry and Baker and how they conduct themselves, I thought Ron Rivera would have been perfect in terms of the adult in the room, change the culture. Were they into him?
Not really, from what I understand. And you and I see eye to eye on that, because the day the Carolina Panthers fired Ron Rivera and it was confirmed the very next day, which I had never seen this, a head coach that has been fired has gone back in the building to say goodbye to everybody and also have his own, hey, I've just been fired press conference with the local media in the team building. I had never seen that before, but that spoke volumes to me. Like you said, the adult in the room, well-respected, disciplined guy, well-organized, all the things that Freddie Kitchens was not. Ron Rivera is, and I too felt he would have been a perfect guy to come in. I don't think he's a power-hungry guy, so he could have fit with John Dorsey. He was my anti-blow-it-up guy, and where he could just come in, whip everybody into shape. The Browns would win a bunch of games. John Dorsey would stay. Everybody would be happy, and we could just move on with just a simple coaching change. Well, the Browns being the Browns, they wanted to do things differently. John Dorsey didn't like the way things were going to be done differently. So he said goodbye, and here we are. They had to end up blowing the whole thing up.
Daryl Ryder with us, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland on the Browns coaching search, but also what an intriguing mix of talent, personalities, and attitudes they have there in Cleveland. What's your biggest question in terms of the personnel coming back next season, and do you believe Odell Beckham Jr. is with the Browns next season?
I do think that he's with the Browns next season. I have been told, because this is always a concern. Anytime you bring in a new coach and a new GM and goes in the NFL, the roster gets blown up. Well, I have been told that the Browns do not want that to happen here, that they feel like they have a solid foundation and core in place that Dorsey has built, and they would like to build upon what was built here. So they don't want the next GM to come in and trade Odell or trade Jarvis or trade Baker and just completely blow the roster up. That might come the next time they do this in 1 or 2 or 3 years. My money's on 2 years because that's about what they average. So in 2022, we will be having the same conversation. So they have a lot of needs. They got to fix the offensive line. They need tight ends. They need safeties. They need linebackers. They could probably use another defensive lineman. So, Dorsey didn't build the perfect roster here. There's no question about it. But he built a roster that was capable of winning and that was capable of getting to the playoffs. And that is why Freddie Kitchens got fired, because he was so disorganized. It was just a three-ring circus, what I've been told, during the week leading up to game days. And Jarvis Landry, give him credit. Like, he was very frank in his exit interview with us earlier this week when he just basically said, you know what? It was all focused on plays and not players, and that was a problem. We went into games not taking advantage of the weaknesses of our opponents. We went into games not knowing what the heck our plan was, and that's why just everything was, went awry. So, they still have the talent to win. And the next head coach that comes in, if they're going to be the kingmaker, if you will, and get to pick their personnel guy or their GM, they're going to be expected to produce results right away. And they're not going to be expected to blow the roster up. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out as we go through this process. And ultimately, the Haslams pick, I believe, their fifth full-time head coach since buying this team in 2012. My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Briggs. Thanks for listening to the Home and Home podcast. Remember, you can watch or listen live every day exclusively on the radio.com app or on the web at radio.com/home.